This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You might have noticed that I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor, and he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I want to party with you.
Oh, if the two of us together, forget it.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague with you here on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. We've got our NFL True or False coming up at 1:30 at crunch time. I will tell Duck football fan how they'll win money next season if they're smart. And I think they should take advantage of this tip.
Okay, I like winning money and I like being smart.
I know I sprague the line a lot, but I'll give you that info. All of that is coming up. But first, we must talk with the prestigious, the always respected, the incredible Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports as well. Kind enough to take a couple minutes with us out here in the Northwest. And he joins us now. How you doing, Tom?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us, man. I kind of want to just start here. I'll just go with the big one. Is it a pipe dream for us in Portland to be thinking about MLB actually coming to Portland, Oregon?
I think as we sit here today, yes. I mean, if you've got a lot of patience, then you can maybe see some light at the end of the tunnel down the road. But, you know, listen, right now Major League Baseball is looking at situations in Tampa Bay and Oakland where they really have not been able to solve stadium issues for a very long time. And if for some reason they want to pick up stakes from either one of those markets, which I don't see happening right now, you know, Portland's one of those teams and one of those cities, and I'll put Montreal there as well, that has to get the attention of people at MLB. But obviously, they've been committed to those markets and working something out for a long time. I don't think they've run out of patience yet, but there's no doubt that Portland is an attractive option if they ever do get to that point.
I mean, you mentioned a pipe dream, and we're all hoping it happens at some point. What would be the timetable, you think, for Major League Baseball to consider expansion? Because we see all these quotes from Manfred. He wants it in the market in the Northwest. He wants to expand potentially two more teams, even things out. How long do you think that would take, and is it all just depending on the Oakland and Tampa situations?
Well, I do think it depends on getting those situations resolved, because it doesn't make sense to me that, you know, they'd still be unresolved in terms of stadium issues and long-term future of those franchises, and then you're expanding other places. So I think if they wrap up those in somehow, some way, then, you know, we're probably looking at maybe 5 to 10 years from now where you can actually think about, yeah, I actually like the idea of adding two more teams and having an even number of teams. I am not a big fan of these 15-team leagues where we get interleague play every day of the season. I think it's really taken away from the attractiveness of interleague games. And the novelty of it has not just worn off, it's been worn down because we do get them all throughout the season. So I'd love to see a situation where maybe you get 4 14 divisions. Mm-hmm. And get away from the 15-team leagues. And the way to do that, obviously, is add two teams.
Yeah. Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, our guest, Fox Sports as well. Tom, you're going to have to help me here because I'm sitting here in Portland. I love sports. I do. That's why I do sports radio show. And I can't help but imagine what it'd be like to have the Portland Athletics. How the hell is Oakland going to figure how are they going to figure this out? I don't understand it.
I don't know. You know, in a vacuum, you'd say, well, why don't they just go to San Jose, right? I mean, if you talk about, you know, corporate sponsorship and where the money is, I think if you were building any franchise where you're selling coffee or starting a baseball team, you would go there. But there is history in Oakland. You want to make sure that, you know, you respect that history and the people who live there. Facility's terrible. I think everybody knows that. They've knocked themselves silly trying to find a good place to move within the area. So, yeah, I mean, there has to come some point where you start looking elsewhere. But I don't get the sense talking to MLB people, as strange as it sounds, because it seems like we've talked about this forever. Mm-hmm. I have not gotten the sense that they're close to saying, all right, let's look outside of the Oakland area.
When do you think the ownership would get to that point? Because I know they recently were trying to put a stadium plan together, and it felt like everybody was really optimistic about it, and then it fell through at the last moment. Does the ownership get to that point where they say, you know what, we're tired of trying to figure this out in Oakland?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. The last one, it seems like they did by the Laney College Complex, and then, you know, for a lot of reasons, basically the community didn't want the ballpark there. And this is probably at least, I think, the third time where they thought they had something that was workable and, you know, the trap door got pulled on them. So, yeah, it has to be frustrating for them, but it's not a decision, obviously, any ownership would take lightly in terms of picking up stakes and moving a team that's been there, especially one that's been there for this long now.
Okay, Tom, this is the last question about Portland and baseball, and then we'll move on to some other stuff, I promise. Just try to help me here. In my lifetime in Portland, will Tom Verducci, in your lifetime, will you see a baseball team in Portland, Oregon?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot there. I'll say yes, because I do think that Portland and Montreal, to me, are the likely places to go. I thought a few years ago before the last round of expansion, that there were a few different places where you could go, but you know, all due respect, places like New Orleans and North Carolina, I do think those are two prohibitive favorites, if you will, if Major League Baseball does. And the history has been that, yeah, the owners like the idea of expansion money. And at some point, it's going to be hard for them to turn it down.
Well, when you're working your first Fox broadcast for the Portland team, beer's on us, okay?
Yeah, just make sure you put a roof on the ballpark, okay?
Well, aware.
I love outdoor baseball as much as anybody, but the fact that you can guarantee 81 home dates to me and make sure you can play in inclement weather, and the technology now is so good, I don't see why you... It's almost like it should be an industry standard for baseball to make sure you have one of those.
Right. No rainouts. It rains all over the country. We're with you. I wanted to get to the free agency situation. As somebody who follows baseball closely, it's been really weird. I mean, you're waiting out for the winter meetings like, okay, maybe this will cut. Nope, nobody signed. And then Stanton's got to get traded first. Otani's got to get signed. Nothing's happening. How concerning is this impasse between the teams and the players? And how do you see it playing out with like 150 free agents remaining unsigned with 20-some days until pitchers and catchers report?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some people when spring training starts who don't have jobs. There'll be others who, I don't want to say panic, but realize, hey, I better take this deal and it will seem like a cut-rate deal. I mean, at this point, I got to say it's gone on so long that most of the leverage, other than for the top star players, I'm talking about the Darvishes and the Hosmers and Martinezes, I think they'll still do well, the top four or five. But for those middle-level guys, man, they're between a rock and a hard place, and the clock's starting to tick on them. So it's interesting to me. I wouldn't make a decision about this market until it's actually over with, because I do think a couple of these top guys will get real good money. And also, I think next year will be completely different with a huge free agent class, really star players out there. We won't be talking about the same things. But for now, there's legitimately something going on here in terms of market correction. You know, a few years ago, we'd love to blast the owners and the general managers for being dumb for signing these guys to long-term contracts. And, you know, they're paying these guys in their late 30s when they're declining. Well, now that they're not doing it, everybody's up in arms to say, how could you not be handing out these ridiculous contracts? I think what's happened is, and I know some of the general managers have talked about this, there's so much more information in the game today. And they're very smart people running these teams now. They're very efficient about how they go about their business. The valuation of players now is almost entirely empirical. And it used to be somewhat empirical, but somewhat emotional, to be honest with you. You know, Scott Boras was great at calling up an owner and, you know, giving some value-added enhancements to signing a player beyond his numbers, whether it was, you know, his leadership in the clubhouse, what he might do for your team off the field. You know, Scott put together these booklets. He was famous for these thick binders in which he sold his clients really, really well. Well, not every major league team has their own binders, and more so in terms of evaluating players. And I think it's just gotten smarter and more efficient when it comes to spending money. And I think it's players and the agents have been slow to realize this new reality. But again, I'm going to wait until next year when you get Bryce Harper and Manny Machado out there and talk about how efficient they are.
Yeah, it's catch 22 now, but it could change next year with all that money. Tom Verducci is our guest, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports as well. You know, we're about to find out the Hall of Fame vote, and not everybody in this region is a Mariner fan, but I think a player we all respect and love to watch play was Edgar Martinez. Is Edgar going to get in?
He is going to be right at that 75% threshold. It will be one of the all-time surges if he gets in this year in terms of where he came from last year. So there's definitely a surge in place here. Is it enough to get him over? I think it's going to be really, really close. He's a guy I do vote for. I recognize, you know, he is a borderline Hall of Famer. The fact that really is not a defensive component to talk about. The fact that he didn't have the longevity that a lot of the candidates have and you'd like to see. But, yeah, I mean, when the award for DHs is named after you. You know, over 300 batting average, 400 on base, 500 slugging. Yeah, he's had some monster seasons there. And the thing that really got me over the top is the fact that so many pitchers in his era talked about Edgar as being one of the purest, best hitters in the game. And I still think of Mariano Rivera, who said he was the toughest batter that he faced. Mm-hmm. Those things matter to me when your peers talk about you in that regard. So, yeah, he's got the numbers. Don't get me wrong. But to me, the respect of his peers, to me, is what puts him over the top.
You know, you're a Hall of Fame voter, and you mentioned you're voting for Edgar. It feels like the process, though, is so convoluted and confusing for some, and the way guys will leave certain players off their ballot because they have a couple of more years left to vote for them. If you could change the way the voting system would work, what changes would you make?
Well, I was actually on a committee from the baseball writers that went to the Hall of Fame a few years ago and said, listen, can we at least expand the number of people we vote for from 10 to 12? I sort of like that idea, even if you consider the fact that it's been 10 forever, yet baseball has expanded, and there's a lot more players in the universe to consider for a Hall of Fame candidacy. You know, if they're right, they actually run the voting procedures, and they said, no, we like it the way it is. We don't see a reason to change it. It's not a problem for me. I voted for 9 this year, so it's not like I want to be voting for 15 or 16 people. But I do respect a lot of people who do want to vote for more than 10, and they don't have that opportunity. Personally, I don't think it would change the results any. You know, you might bring the bottom third up a little bit more, but it's probably one change that I don't have a problem with because, again, I think most writers, not most, but a lot of writers now are bumping up against that 10 limit. And other than tradition, I'm not sure why we should be fixed at 10.
Yeah. Get you out here on this one, Tom. You mentioned the voting process, the Hall of Fame. How has Tom Verducci changed his views of the quote-unquote steroid era over the last few years, if at all?
Well, I haven't changed at all. It's pretty simple for me. This is the way I look at it. It's almost like sitting on a jury, not in a criminal case, but on a civil case, where you look at a preponderance of evidence. And if somebody wants to come in with speculation or hearsay or rumors, it's not allowed. You know, just give me what is known publicly. What is the evidence? And if the evidence shows, there's a preponderance of evidence that shows somebody used steroids, I don't care if they use it their first day in the major leagues or the last day in the major leagues, there's no way I would vote for them today, tomorrow, or 20 years down the line. I understand why guys used them back in the day, but there's no way that I can give someone the highest honor of the game in terms of going to the Hall of Fame if I know that they use steroids. I mean, that'd be like putting Lance Armstrong in the Cycling Hall of Fame. So it's pretty easy for me, and I know a lot of people get a bit out of shape about it, but you do the best that you can with known evidence.
Oh, all right, there we go. Good stuff. Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, great writer, and he is a – you call yourself a dugout reporter, sideline reporter? I don't know what you call it in baseball.
I don't know. Why don't you come up with a title for me?
Okay.
It needs a title.
It does. Dugout reporter, Tom Verducci for Fox Sports. Hey, Tom, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the time. Here's hoping baseball is in Portland at some point and Andrew Jones doesn't get dropped off the Hall of Fame ballot, okay?
You got it. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
There we go. Good stuff from our friend Tom Verducci, SportsIllustrated.com.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
He crapped on our dreams and then he kept them alive.
He did.
It was amazing.
He tore us down
he did.
To build us back up during that interview.
He did. over under 15 years.
Oh.
Until we see baseball in Portland.
Oh.
Just curious what people thought of that. Next on The Fan.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our Ducks. When last we left off, the clouds of a tumultuous season were parting and a new day was dawning. But questions remain. Will spring football bring a new offense? Will the defense remain studly? And what about the coach?
I always had a huge crush on him.
For the answers to these and other questions, join us for the next exciting episode of the Days of Our Ducks. Only on Channel 1080.
Hey, will you shut up?
The Fan.
Hey, Cam here. The bone-chilling cold is here, and if you want to avoid a busted furnace or a jacked-up energy bill, you need to call my friends at Area Heating before everything's frozen and the entire city goes into panic mode. Whether it's a quick fix or a new trained system, Area Heating does it all, does it right, and will never sell you something you don't need. And with 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, Area will be there fast. Go to areaheating.com, your local train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
Are you ready for the big game?
Spirit Mountain Casino, Oregon's biggest and best casino, is the place to be for a super game party. Sunday, February 4th, at the Spirit Mountain Casino Event Center. Watch the live-action game on three giant 14-by-20-foot HD screens. Enjoy a buffet of tailgate favorites and a no-host bar. Receive drawing tickets to win NFL memorabilia. Doors open at 2:30 and kickoff is at 3:30. Tickets are on sale now. Go to spiritmountain.com to purchase your tickets today.
Touchdown.
Black Lightning has everybody charged up.
The whole city was ready to explode.
Critics are calling it a show that knows what it wants to say.
It sets a new bar.
It's badass.
It's the CW's new smash hit.
I promise you, I won't let you down.
And it's lit.
Black Lightning is an answer to our prayers.
Black Lightning was hope personified.
Black Lightning is a game changer.
Black Lightning is back.
Catch an all-new Black Lightning tonight. But first,
I wake up every day in this cell and feel like there's nothing I can do to help anyone.
Until the Flash goes free, saving Central City.
You can call me.
The new, sexier model of superhero.
Has a new name.
It's the Stretchy Man.
This is bad.
This is really bad. That's a terrible name.
I meant you.
It's a can't-miss new Flash. Right before an all-new episode of Black Lightning. Tonight on the CW.
2 hours of action starts with a Flash at 8, followed by Black Lightning at 9. Tonight, only on Portland's CW, Cable 3, Channel 32.
Take charge of your future. Earn your master's degree from Merrillhurst, a top-ranked graduate university in Portland. Choose from nationally recognized programs in art therapy, business administration, food systems, and teaching. Or pursue a master's in mental health counseling or creative writing. Find out what makes our grad programs unique. Go to merrillhurst.edu/grad.
Well, we have one listener that is not about baseball in Portland.
Oh, there's a handful of them out there.
Why would Portland want baseball? It's something that's only going to benefit a few. We need to focus on the infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
I think it's auto-corrected there. Yeah.
Probably got auto-corrected on
infrastructure.
Yes, I agree. We should focus on the infrastructure.
I was like Ron Burgundy there. I just read what it was there on the teleprompter.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The infrastructure and building our future, not some boring hobby that is dying.
Ah, it's dying.
And then he also added 15 years. Never going to happen. Over by infinity. Baseball doesn't belong in Portland. People don't want it here. We have other needs. Roads, schools, homelessness.
Those are all needs. Or does that mean we'll solve them if we don't get baseball? That's what's keeping us from solving our roads and homelessness issue is the desire for a baseball team.
I don't know.
Those have been issues here for quite some time, and we're not doing anything to deal with them right now. I didn't think baseball was the issue.
I don't even know what's coming down the pipeline to change some of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I don't like the people that think they can speak for everybody in Portland. We don't want it here. You speak for everybody in the city? I could say we want it here. I don't speak for everybody in the city. I want it here. You don't want it here. We can't be the voice for an entire city, an entire region, saying just because you don't like baseball and you don't want it here doesn't mean people don't want it here.
You asked me before the show, because I said if we got Kawhi Leonard, I'd cry.
We were joking because Kawhi Leonard's unhappy. Jalen Rose says he wants a trade, and I asked you if you would cry more about a Kawhi Leonard trade or baseball here.
And I, as much as a hoop homer as I am, I said baseball. To get another pro sports team like that, it's just not something I would have ever foreseen, especially after the whole Nationals debacle. And knowing there's a group out there, take it for what it's worth.
Right.
There's a group out there Mike Barrett is kind of the voice and face. And we were told prior to the show that that group was at the owners' meetings.
Yes, they were.
I don't know what that means, if anything at all. But then you also bring on a Tom Verducci, and he kind of calls it a pipe dream, but then also says at some point in his lifetime he thinks he will see a team in Portland.
Well, it's tough because it's a two-part problem for baseball. They want to expand. They want two more teams. And Montreal and Portland, according to everybody in baseball circles, are the two markets that they're looking at, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. They want an even 32 teams. They don't want two 15-team divisions, if you will. So baseball wants that. The problem remains, and Verducci pointed it out, and there's still no evidence that they can solve it in the short term. What do you do with Oakland and Tampa? Those are two situations that are not feasible long term. Their stadiums are awful. Nobody goes to the games in really either market. The A's have had some great years, but when you have sewage flowing through the ballpark, it's tough to pack fans into the stadium, especially in a low-budget team like they've been for a long time. So until you solve those issues, I don't know if baseball's willing to move on it.
How do you solve that, though? Oakland doesn't want to build you a stadium. You're not
right.
Going to finance it.
You're preaching to the choir on that one. And that's where I wish baseball was a little more progressive in their takes with those cities. They're just saying, S or get off the pot. You know, come up with a deal. Oakland, and Verducci pointed out, they've had three or four different things now where it felt like, oh, this is it. Oh, okay, cool. They found their new location. They're going to put it at this community college. All right, sounds good. Oakland's going to stay. Nope, there it goes. Deal fell through. No stadium in place. What's going to change? It's almost the same situation we go through with the Coyotes in Phoenix. They want a new stadium. They need a new stadium. But
Phoenix doesn't care.
They don't want to build you one. You're not going to build one with Arizona State. What's going to change here? And I feel that way about both Oakland and Tampa. I wish that they would just both simply move so baseball could move on from both of those markets.
I think it's going to take a runner diving into second, stealing a base, and he comes up with a face full of feces. What is this doing on the field?
Leaking through the infield, that changes everything.
The stadium is 100 years old, sir. We haven't had a new one. We can't fix the leaking.
Well, Tampa's the same way. Tampa's ballpark's terrible.
I don't know. I just threw a number out before the break, 15 years. Would you bet the over or the under of that?
I would bet the under.
See, I think so, too.
I'm more optimistic than some. I don't think it's going to take 10 years to figure out the Oakland and Tampa situations. At some point, it will come to a crossroads where they say, you know what, not going to work here. We need to look for another situation. And I think once those two teams either move or get a stadium deal done.
God, just move them to Portland.
Baseball's immediately going to look to expand. That's their next step, but they just have to get through those first priorities. So it's just simply a matter of how long does that take and how long does baseball allow them to figure it out.
He did have a good suggestion of San Jose, moving him to San Jose. I don't know if that's feasible, but he seems to think maybe that's a possibility.
Well, the Giants have a problem with it it's technically their market. Yeah, that's
their
problem.
Yeah, that's the problem with having two Bay Area teams.
Yeah, because right now at least you have West Bay and East Bay, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at least they're separated.
I mean, you remember
how long
the battle over TV market networks went on between Washington and Baltimore, and I don't know that it ever still was fully settled over, you know, territories and, you know, and they're in.
We've been fighting over territories since the beginning of man.
It's true.
It's in our DNA.
This is the dawn of man. Yeah.
This is my territory.
So I don't imagine the Giants would let that go without getting a serious payoff or taking them to court.
Well, and that was the other thing that was floated out, whether it was last year or the year before, that they would just share AT&T Park. Let them move in.
I wouldn't want them.
No,
if I'm the Giants, I wouldn't want that.
That's never going to happen.
No, that's Giants ballpark.
You're not going to give up your ballpark for 81 games a year.
Well, and everybody needs to understand, it's not a public ballpark.
No.
The Giants did that on their own.
Yes. They're not giving up that real estate for Oakland to play 81
games. Do you think the first guy, caveman or whatever, that fought over territory, killed the other and then realized, I ended somebody's life over this extra land.
This is my dirt.
I can walk on this dirt.
I own this now.
This grass.
This is my territory.
This is mine. Bernie's gone. Or whatever the names were back then.
You went with Bernie, huh? Bernie was the name of the other guy he killed?
That's probably not old enough. You'd probably go George or something.
Yeah. I was thinking more like something more Nordic, but okay.
This listener says, market dude, Oak to Sacramento. That takes West Coast and Portland off the list. Now, that's the good thing is it doesn't sound like if Oakland finds a place, whether that's in Oakland or Sacramento
baseball
or wherever.
Baseball still wants to expand.
They want to expand.
Yeah,
and they want to expand in the Northwest of the West Coast.
And that's the thing that, and it's the reason why I've continued to be optimistic outside of just simply wanting it here. And I know people will always disagree with me on that. We'll never be able to know for a fact whether it works here or not until we get a team in Portland. But when the report was released that there is a group in place, Mike Barrett is the face of that group. And as you mentioned, we were talking to somebody before the show who said Barrett was down at the owner meetings recently talking to Major League Baseball. Like that still exists. Whether Oakland moves here or whether Tampa moves here, whether they both stay in their same markets, whether they move to different markets, that doesn't change the fact that there is still a group here. There's still the grant money in place that was passed way back when we tried to get the Nationals a long time ago. And it doesn't change the fact that baseball wants to expand. They want two more teams. They want 16 in the AL, 16 in the NL. Maybe they shake up the way the leagues exist, but they want two more organizations in Major League Baseball. They're just not willing to create two expansion cities before they solve the issue of the A's and the Rays.
And this listener says, today I learned that our two choices are getting a pro baseball team and helping the homeless. Sign up. What side are you on?
What side are you on,
man? Are we ending homelessness or are we getting a baseball team?
Yeah, I am all for fixing our roads, getting better infrastructure, solving the homeless issue.
There's a real Larry David within me that says, I'm going to step around this. I'm going to go to this ball game.
Baseball would be pretty cool.
Did he upset you with his steroid stance on voting?
No, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
As long as you're not voting for guys.
I mean, he's voted guys in that have probably
I'd have to go back and look at his ballots then. Because I don't have a problem with that stance. You just can't pick and choose the guys that you penalize for it. Like did he vote for Pudge Rodriguez?
Did he vote for Bagwell?
Did he vote for Jeff Bagwell? Because if you did, then I got an issue with it. But if you're staunch about it, nobody connected, hey, I'm all for that opinion.
Yeah. So actually, we find out tomorrow who gets in the hall, right?
That we do, Bob. That we do.
All right. That'll be announced right as the show starts at noon.
And Edgar Martinez, by the way, there's a guy who's been tracking all the ballots just to see all the publicized ballots. I believe Edgar Martinez at last track was at 73%. He is 2% away.
He is
that
right.
That makes me feel like he's going to get it.
If he doesn't this year, he's going to get it next year.
A little celebration of Edgar tomorrow on the show if he makes it.
It's his last year on the ballot next year, so it'll be a 10-year reward.
We'll also do a segment on Andrew Jones getting the shaft, but that's tomorrow. And somebody else says, an idea, fill the roster with the homeless.
Oh, boom.
Now they have jobs.
Hey, yeah, hire them to work the ballpark. They can sell the concessions, take the tickets in the parking lot.
What happened to the security?
We're creating jobs.
They went and made signs out of cardboard, disappeared. I don't know.
It's like Happy Gilmore hiring the guy who washes his windshield. There, boom, there you go. Created a job.
Steals the nickel off the green, eats the cracker, taking a bath in the pond. Whatever it takes. All right, it's time for our NFL True or False.
Moving in the right direction. Living.
Hey, welcome back in 1:34. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Coming up in 10 minutes, Sprague's got an idea for Pac-12 fans to make money. I'm listening. I want to make some money. Mike Vrabel hired as the new head coach of the Titans. He had some things to say yesterday that we found interesting. We'll talk about him coming up top of the hour. And then also a question to ponder as we'll get to the Philly fan who ran into the pole, the subway, at some point in the final hour. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done after a big sporting win?
I'm not proud of mine, but mine isn't that dumb.
Okay.
It was just irrational.
Well, that's what a big sports win makes to do. Alcohol is usually involved. Bad decisions follow. We'll get to that at some point in the final hour as well. But hey, it's Tuesday, slightly after 1:30. Let's get to NFL. True or false? What do we got this week, Swigard?
Well, let's jump right in. Patriots-Eagles meet for the second time in the Super Bowl, a rematch of Super Bowl 39 this Sunday, February the 4th. New England opening as a 5.5-point favorite. True or false? The winner of Super Bowl 52 will not have the lead in the game when the fourth quarter begins.
This would be the ode to New England is the comeback team. It's a good one. This might be one of your better ones you've ever done because I don't know how to answer this. I'll say true. I do. I think this game is going to be really close.
Okay.
I think that defense is going to keep him in it. And I think Foles will probably have a turnover, but for the most part be okay. New England's the comeback kids. Their last four playoff games, they've had to come from behind.
Well, kind of against Tennessee.
They were down 7-0.
The first quarter.
Still trailed. I think that could bite them in this game, though, because of that defense. I was listening to Mike Lombardi, who knows the Patriots as well as anybody. He actually thinks this is a really bad matchup for New England based on what Philadelphia does defensively and what their offense is. But that's neither here nor there. To answer this question, I say this is true. The winner will be trailing at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
This is going to be a big old false for me, Bob.
Or you think the Patriots are just going to I think they
can have the lead. They lean on them, and Tom Brady's enough for four quarters to have a lead. I don't think Philly's defense is as good as Jacksonville's. Jacksonville, as you mentioned, statistically one of the best defenses we've seen in a long time, and they were able to hold Brady down for three quarters until the fourth where he scored 14. Don't see that happening. I think they have the lead going into the fourth, and they win in the fourth. This is false.
So what do we do, real quick, Swigard? What do we do the Monday after the Super Bowl if Nick Foles is the Super Bowl champion quarterback? Because this guy across the way here, I don't think anybody's been more anti-Foles than you. What do we do? You have to do something.
Well, let's not also act like I'm alone in that opinion. You picked Minnesota to win the game.
Right. I also picked the Eagles to cover a 3-point spread.
You did.
And you poo-pooed and said they were going to get boat raced.
You did. But you also picked them to lose the game.
But that's not the point.
Did anybody on this show in the end of the regular season say Philly was going to win the NFC?
Well, no, at the end of the season.
No.
But has anybody
was
been
anybody other than
more
a
against Nick Foles than you on the station?
No, probably not.
I think if he wins, you got to do something. Okay. Sing the Philly fight song or something.
I'm okay. I'm rooting for Philly to win this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would love to see Philly win the Super Bowl.
I thought you just changed your opinion yesterday.
I did, to root for Philly. That's what I said on the show.
Yeah. I can't root for Philly.
Swag's
it just goes
Philly.
Against everything.
That's right. You're rooting for the Patriots.
No, I'm not.
If you're not rooting for...
I'm rooting for the Eagles to lose.
That's dumb, but okay.
This is false, by the way. I think the Patriots will get a handle on this one and take a lead into the fourth quarter and not relinquish it. Speaking of the Patriots, Tom Brady, the only player in NFL history to have won four Super Bowl MVP awards, true or false, a player other than Tom Brady will win the MVP award for Super Bowl 52.
I'm going to go false on this one as well. Basically, if you're going to say true, you think that Philly's going to win the game. I'm not of the mindset that Philly's going to win this game. So if New England wins, Tom Brady's going to be playing good enough against that defense to be the MVP. He wins another one.
False.
You think the Riders will just be bored of Brady?
Not bored. Brady could have a good game, but if somebody has a Deion Branch-like game, we see that they're not willing to give it to the same player all the time. They like to mix it up. Maybe a player for New England gets two picks. Maybe a Philadelphia Eagle has two or three sacks and a strip fumble. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going false. I think somebody else wins the MVP.
I think it will be false as well. I think it's going to be a tight defensive game. It's likely to go to a receiver or a defensive player would be my hunch.
Little Ertz
at this point.
Ertz me?
Ertz could do it.
A little Ertz action.
Amendola, if he shows up like he did in the NFC Championship game.
What about Cookie? What if Cook's got it?
Well, he's got to not drop potential touchdown passes.
Oh, he dropped one. He was good in that game. That was a pretty bad drop.
Next up, the Vikings and Jags both reached the conference championship round of the NFL for the first time in years, came up short in their quest to get to the Super Bowl. True or false, neither team will return to the playoffs following the 2018 regular season.
False. Return back to the conference championship. I don't know about that. But I think Jacksonville's defense can get them back. It's just about how do you stack up with the rest of your division if the quarterbacks are healthy. But I still think that defense is going to keep them around. And the Vikings defense is going nowhere either. I don't know if they do a QB, but I say this is false.
Yeah, especially when you look at that division too. Chicago, I don't trust a whole lot next year. Detroit is Detroit at this point, and I'm not really banking on them to be a drastically improved team going into next season. So I think Minnesota can pick up one of those wild card spots at least, if not win the division, depending on the health of Aaron Rodgers. This is false. At least one of them will make the playoffs, but I think both of them will make it.
Knowing the turnover that we have, knowing all of the uncertainty at quarterback for the Vikings, knowing what teams will do to go to school with the Jags, I will say this is true.
How about that? Okay, neither of them make the playoffs.
Finally.
Pencil that one down.
Yeah, I wrote that one down.
I thought you might. That one, we're going to check on that one.
We can't. I mean, that's going to take a long time to check in on that. But
we might know in the first 6-7 weeks.
And see if we're still all three here a year from now. Reports indicate Steelers Pro Bowl running back Le'Veon Bell set to hit the free agent market looking for the highest bidder. True or false, the Steelers will have a rookie starting at running back for the opening game of the 2018 season.
Ooh, this one's juicy.
You have what's being called one of the best running back classes to hit the draft in several years.
Well, what about Connor? You're saying somebody's starting over James Connor?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. Their pick's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, they would have to trade up, make a move. And it depends on if they're willing to call his bluff and not franchise tag him because he said he's not going to play under the tag. Do you believe him that he'll hold out? I don't know. That's still to be determined. But I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. And I'm going to say that this is true. I think they were tired of his antics. I was reading a story the other day that he was basically a no-show to their final walkthrough before the Jacksonville playoff game. Mm-hmm. He was voicing his discontent during the week of a playoff game. That's not the way the Steelers like to operate business. They've tied a lot of money into Antonio Brown. I think they move on and they take a swing at a running back in the draft. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is true.
I'm going to say this is false only because even if they move on from Le'Veon Bell, I think Connor is their starting running back next year, not a rookie. So I would say this is false.
I think this will be false. I think there will be a rookie in the rotation, but I think he'll be the secondary running back at least to start the season. Could be there towards the end, but I definitely believe the Steelers will be looking for and not afraid to trade up. I don't know if they'll get into the top 10, but I could see them moving up to 15, 16 if one of those running backs slides with a run on another position, quite frankly. So, but yeah, Le'Veon be gone.
That'd be interesting to see where he goes. Back.
What team picks him up?
What about San Francisco?
The Raiders have been rumored to be very, very interested and Le'Veon Bell not getting what they hoped to get out of Marshawn Lynch.
Shocking. A guy that retired and was over 31 didn't give you what you thought. Surprising.
He seems to fit that
Raider Where are they
mold.
At, though, pay-wise? Because I know they gave Carr the contract, but where are they at with Cooper? I know some of their offensive linemen, Khalil Mack.
It's going to take a lot of money to get him. Look at the highs. I don't even think he cares about winning. He's made it evident he wants to get paid.
What team needs Le'Veon Bell the most to take that next step?
Tampa Bay.
You don't like the muscle hamster?
No. Can't stay on the field.
I think they have bigger issues than just running back.
It's a lot of money you're spending for that guy.
That takes a ton of pressure off Jameis. Right now, Jameis feels just the weight of the entire world on him, and he doesn't feel like if he had Le'Veon Bell to turn and hand it to or dump it off to.
You know what team I think would be really good, but it's going to get broken up because, they want to go a different direction at QB? Jordan Reed healthy. I think Washington and Le'Veon Bell and that Gruden offense, that's a good mix.
With Colt McCoy?
Well, no. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know what the quarterback situation is.
Two teams that come to my mind that I would love to see him as a fit, and neither of them are going to happen, but really intrigued. Seattle
needs one.
And how about finally getting Aaron Rodgers a weapon outside of the draft?
Ooh, him and
Green
Bay.
Could you imagine him paired with... I mean, it's never going to happen because they don't sign free agents to contracts like that.
Well, they fired their GM, so they may have been saying, we're signing free agents to contracts like that.
Maybe they will. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers finally with some help in the backfield?
Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers, Le'Veon Bell, the other Rodgers, the tight end.
Randall Cobb.
That's not a bad little mix. You fix up the offensive line in the draft.
Good luck stopping that.
Your defense is still questionable, but that's not a bad offensive unit.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Devontae Adams. Skipped over Devontae Adams.
Decent weapons right there. We'll see where he goes. It'll be interesting to follow. That'll be another piece. We already got Kirk Cousins, it sounds like, on the free agent market. You add Le'Veon Bell to that. Whew, sign me up. It's going to be a fun NFL offseason. Hey, a bet for Pac-12 fans could, maybe, possibly win you some money next year. Crunch time is next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I was out at the glorious House of Gaines yesterday after the show. My workout on, my trainer Nathan. We'll talk some Vrabel coming up top of the hour. He admitted something we've all known, but I'm curious if it changes the landscape at all. Also, a very, how should I say this, progressive take about how college football fits in the NFL that I think more coaches should follow. Talk about those coming up top of the hour.
I think they do. They just don't voice it.
Ah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll hear what Vrabel had to say top of the hour. You know, we like to make money. We like to gamble.
Spring in the line.
We like to lay some coin on sports, and we're also big Pac-12 junkies, and that's why this caught our attention today. So Bovada has released the 2018 Heisman Trophy odds for college football.
Yes, they have.
If you're a Pac-12 homer, this is a good sign. Two of the top three players on that list are Pac-12 players. No shocker, Bryce Love was the runner-up this year. He's returning for another season. He is the favorite at 7-1. Jonathan Taylor, the Wisconsin running back, is second on that list, 8-1. And then coming in third place with the third highest odds to win the Heisman next year is Khalil Tate at 9-1, running Kevin Sumlin's offense. He took college football by storm. It all makes sense. One comical note here. I understand why they did it. It just made me chuckle. Tua, the Alabama quarterback who played one half of football this year.
An amazing half of football.
He has the fourth highest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Just throwing it out there.
Might be the most dynamic quarterback they've ever had. And
yeah. Is he playing in an offense that will allow him to put up the production and numbers that it will take to win a Heisman?
Hot take, yes.
Okay. Hot take, I disagree with you.
I think he's going to have a lot of yards on the ground, and he'll throw for just enough yards to put him in the conversation.
But there was one bet out there who this player has perked your ears a little bit. You're looking at a nice little payout if you lay some coin on this guy.
Yeah, not a bad payout for old Justin Herbert of the Oregon Ducks, who comes in at 15-1 odds.
15-1 for old Justin Herbert.
He's got the same odds as Kelly Bryant.
Can I ask why Kelly Bryant has 15-1 odds? Did anybody watch him play last year? Also, we're not even sure if he's starting next year. Clemson signed like one of the best quarterbacks in the country in this class, and people are wondering if the freshman's going to start over him.
Well, I think the thinking there is they have a good season. If he is the quarterback, he'll probably be put in the conversation. That's my only logic.
Okay.
But yeah, he's got 15-1. He's got better odds than some pretty damn good players in college football, and he's just behind Will Greer and Jarrett Stidham at Auburn. I really like that pick. It's not my favorite one, but it's pretty close to my favorite one. And the reason it is because of what we have addressed already. Their schedule's a joke. They only have like a couple of tough games the whole season. They don't play anybody in non-conference. They have a legit chance, I believe, to start something like 5-0, 6-0. And in that span, according to what we've heard from Marcus, not from Marcus Arroyo, but about Marcus Arroyo and his offense, he seems to like a little more pass dynamic within his offense than we've seen the last few years within Oregon. If that's true, you're playing scrub teams. You're putting up monster numbers. And if you start, I don't know, let's say 6-0, you're going to be where? In the top 12 probably in the country, right?
Even yeah.
If you play anybody?
Yeah, he'll rise up.
So, and I think with that mix, stats, he's absolutely going to be within that conversation. It's just about what he does when he plays UW. What does he do against Stanford?
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to.
And can you get your team to a Pac-12 title even?
Yeah, I threw this out on Twitter at Thurton Sprague. We have a poll out there, Heisman odds out for the 2018 season, because there are four players that show up just in the general vicinity of the top odds. And we asked, what Pac-12 player would you lay your coin on? Bryce Love at 7-1, Khalil Tate at 9-1, Justin Herbert at 15-1. And then the other player that showed up was Jake Browning, who, of course, is coming back for another year at Washington. He has 22-1 odds to win the Heisman. And, you know, you can take this with a grain of salt because of the territory we're in. Justin Herbert was the top vote getter, 43%. Said they will put their money on Herbert. 36% said Bryce Love, and 18% mentioned Khalil Tate. Now, the pushback that we got from a number of folks, and I think this is a fair concern just because of the way the conference is perceived right now, of wondering, is any player going to be A, good enough, and B, on a dynamic enough team to win the award next season?
Again, I think it's fair, and if you're really unbiased here, I think Oregon has to be in the conversation now. They can easily get themselves out of that conversation when the season begins.
Why are you such a duck homer?
I know, I'm a duck honk.
Quit honking that horn.
I think Oregon can be there, and, you know, Stanford, Keller Chris just transferred.
Yeah, he's transferring.
I don't know what their quarterback situation is, but if Stanford has something of consistency at that position, Stanford's going to be right there with Bryce Love. My favorite bet, though, is not Khalil Tate, it's not Herbert, it's not Love. It's a guy that's down there a little bit, and it's because of how good I think the team is going to be. And that's Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin is 75-1 right now in the Heisman Trophy conversation. Really productive player.
Yeah.
And I think Washington's going to be better. And I think for that reason, if they're representing the North in the Pac-12 and he puts up 1,500 yards, he's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet right there. I like the national player that I saw that I enjoyed the odds on were Trace McSorley.
That's a good one too.
I mean, he was down there at like something 20-1. He's behind, you know, guys like Herbert. And that to me is a pretty decent value bet. And we saw this year with Bryce Love. Bryce Love had an historic season, phenomenal 2,000 yards after the bowl game and he won 9 games. Stanford won 9 games. That wasn't good enough to win the award. Not saying he should have won it over Baker Mayfield. That's the tough part, is you have to cross that threshold of not only having a dynamic season, in my opinion, if you're in the Pac-12. Some guys can get away with this throughout the country. If you're in the Pac-12, I think not only do you have to have a special season, you have to play for a special team. And mentioning Oregon's schedule, there was a national college football writer either a week or two ago who took a look at all of the Power 5 schedules and ranked them from easiest to hardest for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
And of every school in Power 5 football, just the Power 5 schools, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, ACC, Pac-12, he said Oregon had the easiest schedule of every single one of them.
Yeah.
The easiest one of all. I think there's 66 or however many teams in the Power 5.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and their first 5 games, Bowling Green, Portland State, San Jose State, all at home. Stanford at home, so that's your first big game.
Yeah.
Then you're at Cal, never easy. And then you get in kind of the meat of it. You get Washington at home, then you're in Pullman. At Arizona, Chip comes to Eugene, at Utah. And then you get ASU and Herm Edwards, and then Jonathan Smith and the Beavers. Their schedule stacks up pretty favorably. I mean, they need to win that Washington game in Stanford, but
those are the two, yeah.
Boy, you start 5-0, and the confidence is going to be through the roof for them.
5 of the first 6 are at home. Not a bad schedule. So Pac-12 players that showed up in the Heisman odds, according to Bovada, Bryce Love 7-1, Khalil Tate 9-1, Justin Herbert 15-1, Jake Browning 22-1. Those are the odds.
Are you going to have somebody lay some money in Vegas for you on Herbert?
I'll throw some coin on Herbert. Sling it around. Royce Freeman's gone. He had a great year this year when he was healthy. He was dynamic. No reason to think he can't do it again next year.
Yeah. I think Brooks James is better out of the backfield anyway.
Oh, hot take.
It's like a little screen receiver.
Sure. Yeah, made a little better in the passing game. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Hey, lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Why did the Philly fan run into the pole? It's like, why did the chicken cross the road? We'll tell you. He'll tell you why. And what's the dumbest thing you've ever done as a sports fan after a big win? A-Rod continues his hate to love tour with a new gig. We'll have to get to that at some point. Get back into the Lillard sit-down meeting with Paul Allen, what it means for the Blazers moving forward. But I want to start with Mike Vrabel, the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Yesterday admitted something we've all known, ruffling feathers a little bit, and his modern take on how college football should impact the NFL. That starts the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.